This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. I want to talk to you guys about how sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So you guys remember back in the day when Tyreek Hill first left the Kansas City Chiefs, when Tyreek first left, he talked about Tua like he was the best quarterback in the National Football League. He was going on his own podcast. He was going on anybody's television show that would listen to tell you that Tua had a good arm and Tua was as accurate as any quarterback in the league. How great of a deep ball that Tua had. This was Tyreek 3 years ago talking about how he was underutilized in the Chiefs offense.
We felt that Tyreek was underutilized and wasn't fully appreciated. They really weren't taking full advantage of all of his ability and talent. But Tyreek was the real champion and handled it, but it was frustrating on many occasions. After a number of games, Tyreek and I would communicate, and it was frustrating that he wasn't given a chance to do more to help the team in their efforts to win game. And Tyreek's a very unselfish player and is the consummate team player. But there were a lot of things during this season that just felt like there wasn't the same commitment to him.
I would like to point out that in Tyreek's last season in Kansas City, they threw him the ball 159 times. He had almost 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns and was a part of a team that went to and won Super Bowls while he was here. So, but he and his agent don't feel like he was being utilized correctly, and that's perfectly fine. He also said that Tua throws one of the best deep balls that he has ever been a part of.
I mean, it's nothing weird. You know, at first I thought it was going to be something crazy, the ball going all over the place, but Tua actually has – you know, probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. So it's very catchable. Tua is a very accurate quarterback. That's all I'm going to say.
And you guys remember the tour that Tyreek went on. He was very happy to be playing for the Miami Dolphins. And a couple of years ago, it was all good to play for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, he got thrown the ball 171 times. He had almost 1,800 yards and 13 touchdowns. He led the NFL in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. Tyreek averaged 112 yards a game. Tyreek was the best wide receiver. Now Tyreek's 30. Tyreek had 959 yards last year. Tyreek had averaged 56 yards per game last year, almost cut his production in half. Tyreek has been insinuating this entire offseason that he doesn't want to play for the Dolphins anymore. You guys remember that little press conference he had right after the end of the season? And now, after doing all of that talk about Tua, about how great his deep ball was, about how accurate it was, how he was throwing the ball right in his breadbasket, now he's giving his top five quarterbacks in the league. And you can't include your mans?
He said, can I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield and Joe B. Joe Shiesty, too.
You got Baker Mayfield over your boy. I understand those first four, and we'll get to that in a minute, but you can't even include your mans. I'm going to include Rob in anything. Hey, top five, Rob. That's my guy. It was all good a couple of years ago when you were the toast of the league. You was making all the money. You was getting all the passes. You were doing all the media. Things were going great. Now nobody's talking about the Dolphins anymore. You're not going to be the first pick in fantasy. And now look at you acting out. Your man's not even a top five quarterback in the National Football League anymore. If we had done this list a year ago, I bet you he would have been there when you were having 1,800 yards. All downhill. All downhill. This is what I do want to talk to you guys about. I actually think the top five quarterback conversation in the NFL right now is fairly interesting. I think the top four is set. I'm not here to argue with you the order that you have them in. But it is some combination of Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen. You can determine the order in which you think those top four should go. You got Mahomes one, great. You got Lamar, it doesn't, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But those are the top four quarterbacks in the National Football League. The debate really gets interesting at five. Now, to Tyreek's credit, I don't think that Tua is on the short list of top five quarterbacks in the National Football League, so I can only be so mad at you for telling us what we already know. But if you are rounding out the top five right now, there's probably, I don't know, six quarterbacks that it make a pretty strong argument to be in that top five and to round out that list. I think you have to include Jalen Hurts based on what we just saw him do in the Super Bowl and what we just saw him do this postseason. I think that Justin Herbert, from a physical standpoint, from a numbers standpoint, certainly has an argument for it. I'm not making the argument for Justin Herbert. He's fooled me too many times in the past, and I'm done. I'm done selling you Justin Herbert because he is not selling anything worth buying. He is James Harden is who he has been. That's who he has been. Same initials, same regular season production, same postseason disappointment. I'm out on Justin Herbert. But if you want to argue the numbers, okay. He certainly has played at a top five level. I think you'd argue Jaden Daniels, even though I think it's pretty early to be having that conversation. I would make an argument for CJ Stroud. Not really sure, Rob, if you want to make an argument for CJ Stroud. You don't seem like you're as much of a believer that I am in CJ Stroud. I think Jared Goff obviously has a claim to that as well. And maybe this is my pride and it won't let me allow this person to just walk away. I still think a healthy Matthew Stafford is in the conversation of top five quarterbacks in the National Football League. And you're not going to be able to convince me otherwise on why I should remove Matthew Stafford from that conversation.
I mean, I'm just gonna skirt past the nonsense comment there about Matthew Stafford, because nothing about Matthew Stafford's stats last season even begin to indicate he's a top five quarterback in the NFL. Like, he had 20 touchdowns and 8 picks last year on 3,700 yards. If I erased the name and told you that's Alex Smith in San Francisco, it's the same. That there was nothing about Matt Stafford last year that says, ooh, watch out for top five. I actually think five is Jared Goff. I think now maybe Jared Goff is a Ben Johnson creation, and we will look back and I'll sound like an idiot because I said it's Jared Goff. But Jared Goff, since going to Detroit, has been one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and there's been a little bit of consistency in that franchise, and it has all circled around the time he showed up. Now, I don't know that he's like an, oh man, he's good enough to win a Super Bowl by himself. I don't know that's him, but I think statistically indicate it's him or Jalen Hurts. And if you want to have Hurts at five because Super Bowls reign supreme, cool. I'm not going to stop you there either. But I think those are the two names. I don't think Stroud's in that conversation anymore. I'm lower on Stroud than most. I don't think Herbert is, because Herbert's, you know, LaMelo Ball. It's the epitome of empty calories. It's what I talked about yesterday, the Ochai Agbaji in Toronto. Who cares? No one sees it happen. It never happens when the moment matters. I think it's Jared Goff or Jalen Hurts for five. And if you want to tell me rings matter, cool, you can have Hurts. But if you want to tell me consistency matters, then it's Goff. I think those are the two.
But I think the rings have to matter for Jalen Hurts, because in an era, in a generation where not too many quarterbacks are taking their team to the Super Bowl, he's done it twice and has played well in both Super Bowls. Like, someone just sent in, CDOT, Jalen Hurts didn't do a lot, but the Eagles did. I don't know how you can say that. Jalen Hurts was 17 of 22. He completed 77% of his pass, threw two touchdowns, and also ran for 70 yards and scored another touchdown. He dominated the Chiefs defense. I don't want to hear the, oh, he got carried. Nah. He was a major part of what they were doing. Now, yes, they have put a lot around Jalen Hurts, but you still got to go out there and execute, and he did this postseason. So Hurts is in the conversation. Now, I wouldn't put him at number five, but if you complete 71% of your passes in four postseason games and you account for 10 touchdowns and one turnover, you can't tell me you're not in the argument of being one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. So I think you got to put Hurts there. If you're asking me definitively to pick one of these guys, I think the answer is Jared Goff. I think right now, I think there are clearly four quarterbacks that you feel they could do it in a bunch of different situations. You could take Mahomes off Kansas City and put him on Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a legitimate Super Bowl contending team. I think there's four quarterbacks that fit that criteria. And then I would say after that, you have a group of about 6 to 8 quarterbacks that feel like, hey, if you put them in the right situation on the right team, you can make things go. We've seen that with Jalen Hurts. You've seen him able to take a team to a Super Bowl or not. I just saw him take, I think the Commanders roster was okay last year. They went to the NFC Championship game last season. I've seen Jared Goff now consistently do it in two separate organizations with two different coordinators, two different coaches, two different everythings. I think Goff is the fifth best quarterback in the league right now if you are asking me to put pen to paper. And then for number six, an honorable mention, I think Jalen Hurts deserves that number six spot and that honorable mention right outside the top five based on what he has accomplished in the postseason in two of his runs.
I actually agree with you wholeheartedly. I understand in these conversations more so than any other position on the football field, and maybe any other position in, you know, football in general, rings just matter to people at quarterback. And he's been to two and he's won the one. So I actually would also have Hurts six. But if someone was advocating, hey, Jalen Hurts was great in the first Super Bowl loss and he was better than Mahomes in the last win and he's 1-1 in Super Bowls and Jared Goff's 0-1 in Super Bowls, okay, I'm not going to fight you too hard. I think actually it's 5A, 5B, and that's kind of the listing. But I don't know there's anyone in that conversation outside of those six guys. Like, miss me with Stroud, Stafford, Herbert, you know, whoever, Bo Nix, if you believe Jaden Daniels, I got to see more. I mean, that's the next tier down, but they are, in fact, a tier down.
Coming up on the other side, I want to have a conversation about basketball and the overall state of the game. We'll also get back to the Royals. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We were talking about the quote from Tyreek Hill. If you missed it, Tyreek Hill gave his top five quarterbacks in the National Football League. He does not include his own quarterback.
He said, could I rank my top five quarterbacks? Lamar, Josh, Pat, obviously. No, this is no order, by the way. Baker Mayfield and Joe B, Joe Shiesty, too.
So that was Tyreek's top five. And Rob and I were talking about, I think that four are pretty undeniable. Like, if you were making a top five list and you don't include Burrow, Mahomes, Allen, or Jackson, I don't care what order you put them in. It doesn't matter to me. If you don't include those four, it's just not really a list that I'm really that interested in hearing what you think. I think the intrigue to me, if we're going to have that conversation, is who do you think is number five? I would put Jared Goff at number five, but I think there's a handful of guys that you can make an argument for, and I think that Jalen Hurts is one of those individuals. Someone then texted in, C-Dot, Hurts isn't that guy. He just has an amazing roster. He didn't really do a lot. His team did. The Eagles had zero pressure all Super Bowl. It was over in the fourth quarter completely because of the defense and short fields. There's 25 other quarterbacks that win that game as the Eagles quarterback. I don't know why, and this is a small group of people, so this is not a broad statement. Sometimes I don't think you guys want to tip the cap to the other quarterback when they get the best of Mahomes. Jalen Hurts has gone up against Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense four times. He has 10 touchdowns and three interceptions. He averages 270 passing touchdowns. He completes 70% of his passes with 100 quarterback rating and 55 rushing yards. In those games, he has played really well against Kansas City. Now, we don't got to go back and dissect the entire Super Bowl, but I do think it's kind of a style make fight. And I think we can say of any team in the last 5 years, what teams have matched up the best against Kansas City? I actually think it's two teams in the NFC. I think Philadelphia is one and San Francisco has been the other team. San Francisco matches up better against Kansas City than Baltimore has in these matchups. I also think they match up better in these games than I think we've seen Buffalo as well. Like, I don't think the Buffalo and Baltimore have matched up very well against Kansas City. Philadelphia definitely does. And I think the San Francisco has as well. But I'm not letting anybody get the, oh, no. Jalen Hurts has played well against Kansas City. Whether it was the regular season or both times they've played them in the Super Bowl, I think if you are one of those people that rings matter, and we can't knock Lamar for not winning in the championship while simultaneously not giving Jalen Hurts enough credit for actually winning in the postseason, I think Hurts has to be in this conversation. Again, I think Goff is a better quarterback than him, but I'm willing to entertain the possibility that Jalen Hurts is one of the five best quarterbacks in the league based off how I think he's performed in the postseason.
The problem with the rings matter conversation, and again, we agree, but this is my whole frustration, and it's a larger frustration just conceptually with the rings crowd. if it's a rings matter conversation, you have to have Hurts at two. Does anyone really think Jalen Hurts is the second best quarterback in the NFL?
No,
You don't think that? I don't think that. I don't think most sane people think that. But he has more rings than Allen. He has more rings than Lamar. He has more rings than Burrow. But I feel like most people would say, oh, those guys are all better than him. So me and you agree. But if you are a person who is saying, well, Hurts has to be ahead of Goff because rings, then it's a slippery slope to start saying, well, he has to be above this person and this person and this person and this person, because ring culture as a, you know, data point is imperfect for a lot of reasons. But I agree with you. I think he's 5B. And if you have him in 5A, that's cool. I think that's the area he lives in. But if you told me today, hey, you have to go have a quarterback go win you a game, you know, one time, 1 week in the NFL, who you picking, I would take Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar, probably even Goff, but I would argue about Goff. I'd probably take those five over Hurts all day.
Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, I think if you take Chase and Higgins away, then Joe Burrow is nothing. Someone else says Jalen Hurts would be a bench rider without the tush push. He does have the number one offensive line, top wide receiver core, and a top five tight end. You guys know my stance on this. I just don't know how you think these quarterbacks and these teams beat Kansas City if they don't have good talent. It never makes sense to me. I don't know how you think you win the Super Bowl without having good teammates. So, yes, I'm with you. Joe Burrow needs a really good infrastructure around him. And when he had all of those things and those things were healthy, he was able to help guide his team to the Super Bowl. I agree with you. Jalen Hurts is able to win the Super Bowl because of the team that they've built around him. Isn't that the goal of this thing? Like, I thought the goal was to get the quarterback right and then put him in a position to get other things correct. I mean, isn't that what the Chargers are trying to do? That's what it seems like they're trying to do. They are failing at their plan, but isn't that what you're supposed to do? Like, Buffalo, they can't figure it out. They've been trying. Well, let's go get Amari Cooper. Well, we had Stephon Diggs. Let's do that. Buffalo still hasn't played for the Super Bowl yet. So I don't want to take it away from Burrow or Hurts that Jared Goff has been given a whole lot. It's really hard to get to the Super Bowl. You have spent a top 15 pick on a running back. You spent a top 10 pick on an offensive lineman. You have fully invested in wide receivers. You had the best offensive coordinator in the league. They have given Jared Goff everything, and they choked away the NFC Championship game, and they lost in the second round last year to a rookie quarterback making his first road start. It is not ideal. It's really, really difficult, I think, to make it deep in the postseason and to go on a little bit of a run. So I'm not here to defend Joe Burrow, but I at least want to point that thing out. Someone else says, but look what Pat has done last year without none of his offensive weapons. These other dudes ain't Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, if your argument is Pat can do it, why can't Jalen Hurts? The argument for me is very simple. Pat's better than them. He's better than they are. If that's the argument, yes, you will not hear any objection from me. Why does Brock Purdy need more than Patrick Mahomes? Because Patrick Mahomes is better than Brock Purdy. That's why. That's the answer. So, yes, Pat is able to win with less of an infrastructure, but I also think last year, I think you saw, hey, the team that had the better infrastructure, their team was much better equipped to win the Super Bowl. Yes, the quarterback that had the worst offensive line, had the worst running game, the worst wide receivers, the worst tight end, that was the team that got their ass whooped in the Super Bowl, too. Even though they had the better quarterback and the better head coach, why did they lose? All of the other infrastructure is much better in one place than the other place.
I also feel like, and maybe this is unique to Kansas City, this happens in Buffalo too. And I know I'm not trying to say Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen are the same, but I think there are only a handful of markets in the country where the standard of is this quarterback as good is held to the, well, can he beat our quarterback light? And Kansas City is one of two markets on earth. And actually, they're one of one where almost no one, if anyone ever, is winning in that light. Josh Allen's a great quarterback. He won the MVP last year. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. If you ask Chiefs fans, hey, who's better, Mahomes or Allen, they would all say Mahomes, and they're right, and they would go out of their way to talk Josh Allen down. It's because when we have these quarterback conversations, people look at them through the prism of, well, what about him compared to my guy? Which is wildly unfair in Kansas City because your guy is historically great. He's chasing one person in history. He's not compared to the regulars in the NFL. But when you compare great player to great player in the NFL, that's what we should be doing. But I think this Kansas City has created this prism that they see at quarterback through because of Mahomes' greatness, which no one can be held to.
Yeah, I just, you know my argument. In 2022, Patrick Mahomes won NFL MVP. He had 41 touchdown passes and 12 interceptions. Since then, he had 27 touchdown passes and 26 touchdowns. And his quarterback rating went from 105 to, it was 93.5. So he was, I mean, about 12 points worse at quarterback rating last year. Why? A quarterback who is entering the prime of his career, a quarterback who, for the most part, was as healthy as he has been at any point. I think it was infrastructure last year. I think it's offensive line. I think it's the run game. I think it's all of those other things. I think if you get more of that infrastructure back and the Chiefs' run game is better and their wide receivers are healthy this year, I think you get back to the Patrick Mahomes that can win NFL MVP. And I know you don't care about MVPs. You want to win the Super Bowl, but you get the point that I'm making. You get those big-time numbers with the 50 touchdowns and the 41 touchdowns. I mean, in 2018, you threw 50 touchdowns because you had the best version of Tyreek Hill and the best version of Travis Kelce. I would argue in 2022, Travis Kelce was one of the five best offensive players in the league that season. He threw 41 touchdowns and won NFL MVP. Last year, when you have no Tyreek Hill, a reduced Travis Kelce, and your number one wide receiver doesn't really get going until late November, that's where you get a season where a guy throws 26 touchdown passes and your offense is limited in terms of some of the big playability that you potentially have. Let's transition just a little bit, and I want to make like a basketball point that I guess is NBA related, but not really specific to the NBA because this also happens in college basketball. So yesterday, in game one of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Knicks and the Celtics, the Celtics took 20 shots in the third quarter. 19 of them were threes. They took one layup. They took one two-pointer in the third quarter of their game. They took over 60 threes in the entire game. They lost. Now, the Celtics do that from time to time. They usually have one of those games a series where they just shoot a bunch of threes. They're just not making the threes that day. I get it. You live by the three, you die by the three. This is one of the things about basketball that I think we are inching closer and closer to. People want a change. I think the fans of basketball have told you, we don't want this anymore. I see the three-point as a supplement to everything else that you do. That I don't want it to be your entire offense. Yeah, I like dunks. I like crossovers. I like very fancy finger rolls and layups and all kind of other things. I don't want all you do is to shoot threes. That's what Boston's offense is. You look back to the national championship. This is just not an NBA problem. There were 122 shots that were taken. Overall, 50 of them were threes. A large majority of the shots, just they're three-pointers. What happened to the nice mid-range game? Maybe I'm talking like an old guy here. But you remember Tim Duncan, Mr. Fundamental? He would just stand there and knock in that little 18-footer. What happened to the little floater where your guy would drive in the lane and try to get a floater over the Giants down in the paint? That just no longer has a place in basketball. I don't think for the most part that people are tired of the three-point shot. I think they're tired of not seeing a variety of shots. Where, Rob, you and I were talking about this earlier. It used to be when you drove in the lane, you did that to get an easier shot. You wanted to get a layup. You wanted to get a dunk. You wanted to hit a little mid-range jumper or a floater. Now, the only purpose for driving in the lane is to get the defense to collapse for you to kick it out to somebody else to shoot a three. And you repeat this process. Both teams do this for 48 minutes. No. It's time to move back to the three-point line. The three-point line was not designed for everybody to be able to do it. It should be designed for elite shooters, premier shooters. Sometimes an idea has run its course and it's time for you to make adjustments. We can't have the same three-point line in 2025 that we had in 1985. The game has changed. So I understand, yes, it would change the way that the game is played. Yes, it would change the scoring. Good. We want to change the scoring. I want guys that shouldn't be shooting threes to stop. And I want them to go try to dunk on somebody or go hit layups or floaters. I want guys like that to be discouraged from shooting threes, not encouraged to do it. To take 20 shots in a quarter and only one of them is a two-pointer is just not entertaining basketball. It's not what I want the NBA to be. It's not what I want college basketball to be. And I hope and pray. And I understand that we are reluctant to change. Well, it's always, I don't care. It's always been like that. There was a time where there was no three-point line in basketball. You couldn't take a three-point shot. Now, yes, I'm happy that we have it. But again, I want them to seriously alter the line. I want them to move it back and make it much more difficult to make threes and deter average shooters from taking those threes and start taking a wider variety of shots. What happened to the little mid-range baseline jumper? It doesn't exist anymore in basketball. I'm tired of it. Maybe this is old man yelling at a cloud. I'm sorry. I sat there and watched him shoot nothing but threes, possession after possession. I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore. I want him to stop doing it.
Doesn't this problem might be the wrong term. Isn't it just what analytics have done to sports? And I'm pro analytics. But you and I both know the math of it says this. If a shooter is going to shoot 40% from three and 50% from two, eventually that extra point makes that longer shot better. You see it in baseball. Hey, there is a chance that when you ground out versus strikeout, yeah, they're both outs, but that ground out could actually lead to two guys being out. There could be a double negative. So over the course of a game, it is smarter to be just a strikeout. Hey, if it's a 3-0 count, don't swing and try to get a hit. The math says you're not going to get a hit there. Let the pitch fly by, get a walk. Getting on first base is more valuable than getting a hit. And I agree with these things at their core. But as analytics exploded on the sports scene, people did the math and realized, yeah, hey, 19 threes in a quarter is tough to watch, but if they had made some of those, they would have blown the opponent out because you get that bonus point. This just seems like the either intended or unintended consequence of analytics and their impact on sports.
I don't think that you are wrong. This would be my argument. Excuse me. My argument would be simple. I don't want an NBA that doesn't include Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson, we watched him play. He was not the guy that needed to be taking 8-10 threes a game. He was the get in the lane, floater, layup, tough shot guy. That guy was fun to watch. I don't want a baseball in which they are telling me that we'll never get another Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn wasn't a guy that hit a lot of home runs. Rob, he played 20 years in the league. He hit 135 home runs in his career. He was not a guy that was going to swing for the fences and hit 30, 40 home runs. And he did this during the steroid era in baseball. The most home runs that Tony Gwynn hit in a year was 17. You know what Tony Gwynn would do, though? Hit 380, hit 390, put the ball in play, move runners around, not strike out. There's not room for those players in sports anymore. It's so math. It's so analytic. It's so number-driven that two of the greatest ever in their respective fields, we just don't encourage kids to be that anymore. So that's where I push back on it, where I agree with you. I think a lot of the changes in sports, whether it's in baseball, whether it's in basketball, are algorithm-driven and numbers-driven. I don't know if that makes it a more entertaining game, though. Strikeouts are not entertaining to watch. Putting the ball in play is interesting to watch. You get a great defensive play. A ball gets hit in a gap and an outfielder makes a really good catch. There's the thrill of seeing if the guy can tag up and what's going to happen to the play at the plate. Baseball is most interesting when the ball is put in play. But now we just, it doesn't matter. Strike out 150 times. No, it doesn't matter. Well, yes, it should matter. It should matter how you do it. You're right. We have now turned it into, it is better to miss a three than make a two. That's weird to me. That's weird to me, especially when you and I watch enough basketball. When they shoot two-pointers, man, they're really good at them. Like, they don't miss two-pointers. They just don't have any interest in shooting any of them. I don't want to live in a world where that's acceptable. I just don't think that's the most entertaining product to watch.
There was actually a point in the game last night where it was when Derek White hit the three to go up by one, make it 98-97. it was Jason Tatum got a rebound right under the basket. Carrington, when you and I were playing basketball, if you get a rebound and you're the best player on the team, or you're watching the NBA or college basketball and your best player gets a rebound and you are under the basket, you are taking the layup. Jason Tatum turned around and found an open Derek White for a three. Now, that was one of the ones that actually went in, but that's just not something that we have ever seen before. And I think it is just an unintended consequence of the statistical revolution. You asked if the modern NBA would have Allen Iverson. The answer is no. You know what the modern NBA would do? They would tell Allen Iverson to become a better shooter. Hey, you can cross a dude up and you can kill him, then make a three. That's what basically happened to Kyrie Irving. Outside of all the craziness with his, you know, personal life and all that stuff, what was happening to Kyrie Irving was he went from crossing dudes up, making layups, to crossing dudes up and hitting pull-up threes. Luka Doncic. I mean, I know that he and AI are not the same body type, but Luka can lull you to sleep with his dribble and can go right past you. But that's not what he does when he dribbles. He lulls you to sleep and hits a three or shoots a three. I think if you asked if Allen Iverson was in the modern NBA, his coaches would tell him, stop driving, keep doing that crossover, but shoot the three afterwards. And that's not better. I'm just telling you that's what's happened.
I don't disagree with you. I just think that basketball, kind of like baseball, baseball is at its most interesting when the ball is put in play, because anything can happen. An error can happen. You get on base. That's when baseball is at its most interesting. Basketball is at its most interesting when it's played near the rim. That's when it's most interesting. When guys are hitting tough layups and tough floaters and tough shots, when there's resistance from it, that's when it is. This isn't interesting. I'm sorry, it's not. I love basketball. This isn't interesting. To watch a team take 20 shots and 19 of them are threes and they took one layup is not interesting. The biggest changes, and a lot of you played basketball in high school, I don't even think this is a Steph Curry thing. A lot of people say this. Rob, you and I played basketball during a time where you had a 2-on-1 fast break. You had to get a layup. These kids don't try to get layups anymore. No, a 2-on-1 is a chance for you to get an open three-pointer shot. Wait, what? How? You used to have a chance to get a 95% shot at the rim. You rather now trade that for a 35% chance at a three? It's just not that interesting to watch, in my opinion. I don't like the way the Celtics play. I really don't like it. I hate it. They're worse than what the Warriors used to be. They're worse. They took 19 three-pointers in a quarter. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Cole Reagans from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with C-Dot on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, I want to play one thing for you, and this can kind of close the conversation that we were having. We were having a conversation about last night in the NBA playoffs. In the third quarter of the Celtics and Knicks game, Boston took 20 shots in the third quarter. 19 of them were threes. You will find this as a shock. They made the 1 2-pointer that they took. They hit 8 of 19 from 3 in the series or in the quarter, and I just don't find that to be super interesting. Obviously, I'm not anti the 3-pointer in the NBA. I just want them to take a wider variety of shots. What happened to the mid-range game? The little free throw line jumper. They just don't take those anymore in basketball. I want to play this audio for you guys, and then we'll move on. This was KU's basketball baseball coach. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, Dan Fitzgerald. I asked him, what is the major difference between pro baseball and college baseball? Listen to his answer, because it goes perfectly in line with what we've been talking about.
Yeah, very different than professional baseball with, you know, you start with the aluminum bats versus wood bats. Certainly a different game and a you know, that big league baseball is obviously the highest form of the game we were a part of, but very different in that, you know, in the big leagues, the home run, the strikeout, and the walk, you know, the three absolute outcomes of an at-bat are, you know, I don't know, 75% of at-bats right now. Versus college, you still have a lot of you know, a lot of things in between. The stolen bases in the big leagues have changed, where teams are stealing more now based off of the fact that you can only pick twice to a base. But the stolen base, for the most part, is still a huge part of college baseball.
A Division I baseball coach said that in pro baseball, a strikeout, home run, or walk are around 75% of the at-bats. What about singles? Or doubles? I think you can argue in a lot of ways, like a double is like one of the most exciting things that could potentially happen in a game. A guy gets out there, gets a chance to run a little bit, maybe a triple. Everybody loves a triple. Who doesn't? 75% of the at-bats just feels a little off to me. Rob made the point about analytics, and I think it's a good point. I do not question on whether or not we are doing these things more efficiently than we were. I just would argue that doing them more efficiently has just made them less interesting to watch and less fun. That I don't want to see guys strike out 140 times a year. I mean, they're going to get the 27 outs. Can we just hit a deep fly ball that I think could be a home run and we can see if the outfielder can make a great play? It seems like a good possible outcome for an entertaining, well-played game. Rob, let me ask you this question, keeping it in line with baseball. What do you think happens first? Do you think it's MJ Melendez comes back or Cags makes his major league debut?
Cags. And I have a little bit different timeline than most. Me and yours timeline adds up. I know a lot of people are getting fired up for Cags because he tore the cover off the ball today. I still think he's like August, September in Kansas City. Like they bring him up and see if he's major league ready. And if he is, they use him as a weapon on the playoff roster. And if he kind of struggles, then, hey, he's on the 40 man. You kind of figure it out next season, like hit the ground running in opening day. But I don't think MJ Melendez is coming back up this season. I think Cags is coming up. I think the kid Peyton Wilson is coming up. And I think the Royals are adding a bat at some point, maybe two bats, kind of like last year how they added multiple bullpen arms. Like, I don't know MJ Melendez coming back up unless a slew of injuries comes, but I'm not betting on injuries. So I think it's Cags before Melendez.
Yeah, I would guess that too. I'm trying to find the exact number, and I apologize for not having this before we started this conversation. I'd be really curious to know how long Alex was down whenever they sent him there. Because I think when this first started with MJ, I can't speak for you, but I kind of thought that MJ was just going to go down kind of temporarily, was going to kind of get his head right, was going to perform well and play well, and then come up. Like, I would have guessed that at some point around Memorial Day, early part of June, that MJ was going to be back. I don't know how you can see how he's performing in AAA and think that he is anywhere close to coming back to the major leagues. Like, he's having the same problems down there that he was having up here. So at some point, like, you got to see MJ start to give you some hope, some optimism to get back to the prospect that we were talking about a couple of years ago as a guy that could play a little bit of outfield, a guy that could catch for you a little bit, a guy that seemed like he had a lot of tools. I mean, I think you would have to say Cags at this point. Like, I think we're having the conversation, will MJ ever be back for the Royals? Like, I know at some point Cags will be on the major league team. I don't know when. I mean, it could be in 2 weeks, could be in 2 months, could be next year opening day. But I think we all are very, very confident at some point he is going to play well enough where it is time to give him the opportunity to play in the big leagues. Are we sure that MJ Melendez gets himself out of this rut? He hasn't really given you a reason, I would say, in a year and a half to believe that he is going to get himself out of it. And you would have thought in the situation that they placed him in, you will go down there and be a cut above everybody else. I mean, you've been in the major leagues for the last 500 games. You got almost 2,000 plate appearances in the major league. You've been going against major league pitching now for 3.5 years. It does not look like it when you went back down there. So I think the answer here is clearly Cags. And now the question is, do we ever see MJ again in a Royals uniform?
I think, I don't think we'll ever get the actual answer to this, but I'm betting when JJ and co sent MJ down, they thought exactly what you thought. Go down there, get your head right, mash against a lesser level. And then, you know, Memorial Day, you force our hand, you come back up, and people are like, oh, we get to see Melendez 2.0. Not only is that now happening at the minor league level, the guy that replaced him at the major league level has been good. Not just better than MJ Melendez. I mean, batting 107 is better than MJ Melendez, but Drew Waters has been one of the reasons why this offense doesn't stink. He's not just hitting 180 and playing a little good defense. He can actually hit. Like, what was Eric Bieniemy's comment? You gotta go take a grown man's job. Drew Waters came up here and took a grown man's job. So if JJ and Co's plan was to bring him up Memorial Day, MJ hasn't held his end of the bargain up in the minors, and Drew Waters is not cool with just going down because he's been good since coming to Kansas City.
I don't want to argue the particulars. Did Drew Waters take his job away or did MJ Melendez give it away?
Can it be both?
Yeah, for sure.
Because Drew Waters, you're right, Drew Waters hadn't been Tony Gwynn, but he's been the Royals' best hitting outfielder this year. It's a low bar, but he's been the best hitting outfielder.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just looking at MJ Melendez, and if you're telling me for the last 162 games dating back to last year, you're hitting below 200, it didn't take much for somebody to come up here and take your job. They basically had to be competent. Drew Waters could be hitting 250, and you'd be like, that's an upgrade over what you were getting for MJ Melendez. So I'm with you. Isaiah Pacheco, he took somebody's job. Hey, I played really well. I outperformed you. I don't know if MJ Melendez got his job taken away. It's just, we can't let you have this job anymore. I think the Royals wanted to be patient and wanted to give him a little bit of time. There just was not really a sign that he was going to turn things around. And now you see how he's performing down in the minor leagues. I think you would have to agree. He just has not turned things around with where he is. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, we had a poll question earlier today. Let me read it to you. The poll question was, if you could turn Jalen Royals into DeMarcus Robinson for this upcoming season, DeMarcus Robinson in the Chiefs uniform averaged 30 catches for 352 yards and 3 touchdowns, Would you press the button and take that? We'll give you guys the results and we'll give you our answer next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.